Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Tinder use in Pyeongchang is up 1,850%.
Pyeongchang. It's Pyeongchang.
So you're Pyeongchang. Korean now. You're Korean, and you know the way everything's supposed to be pronounced.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
We had mixed reviews on yesterday.
A lot of mixed reviews.
I was sent a couple notes about...
There was a couple of mail-it-ins and a couple of, you guys were great.
It's so difficult to get a read on those type of shows because when you're in the moment, it just feels like a regular show. You're just talking and you got different topics and I thought we were okay, but...
I came in and asked Brian, I said, do you guys have a big fight on the air? Because my builder, Jeff, I went to his house today and his son, Eric's a big fan of the show and he's like, man... It's like Hayes and O were at each other yesterday.
Well, we had a big debate. There was a basketball deal that he thought was funny, and he's a...
No, I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was intuitive. It was I thought it was a smart move.
I don't want to open up... I'm not going to open a new
move
here.
It was
let's ask Jamie quickly before we get into the whole deal.
Now I've got to be the...
Golden State was crushing the Phoenix Suns. The final score was 130-89 or some garbage.
Yeah.
So let me ask you what you would think of this. Steve Kerr, in the fourth quarter, stopped coaching. He let the players coach. And the players were like drawing up plays and making a joke of it. And
I mean, I'm going to translate it to hockey.
I just did. I was like, Detroit killing
it. But it's not
Shanny's
hockey.
Shanny's on the bench with a clipboard.
It's not hockey.
I know. You're right.
So you can't translate
right,
it back to your time when you were playing.
All I'm saying is if... Again, this is aging me and making me look like one of those when I played or whatever. All I can speak from my experience, if I was still playing, whether that was in the NHL, the AHL, the KHL, even 30 years ago in the Western Hockey League, if that was a situation where a coach allowed his players to do that and there was some sort of mocking, there would have been a brawl.
Wasn't mocking.
Oh, my God.
Was not mocking. You heard Kerr's explanation.
Green wouldn't mock.
Yeah, what
you heard his explanation.
Okay, I want to hear his explanation.
Kerr's explanation was...
He wants his players to grow, and he's got to find ways to stimulate them.
Right, because they've been floating for 3 years and winning NBA titles. Phoenix lost by 45 points.
Yeah.
They're a joke of an organization.
The last thing they need to worry about is
exactly.
Golden State.
You got a problem with it, play better.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
That's my stance
on it. Well, here's the thing. If they're ever getting smoked in a game, if they ever could get smoked in a game, then give them the clipboard and say, you guys, coach, you're not listening to me.
But then,
go ahead.
But then the reasoning behind it changes, man. Yeah. Then it's a revolt by the coach. That's his way of saying, you guys are...
I'm
treating me like
you.
A jackass.
Exactly.
Forget it. You guys, you think you're so smart. That wasn't the reasoning behind it.
Here's the only thing that I would say is, how do we know about it? Because it's front and center. You probably could have done it behind... I don't know if you can do it behind closed doors anymore. You can't do anything behind closed doors.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can hide anything.
That's where the respect factor in hockey is a little different. 6-1 in the third period, you don't put your top power play unit out there. You don't put your top guys out there. You roll your third and fourth lines.
I think I've told you
in the NBA and other sports, it's like, let the players coach and make a mockery of this situation.
I think I've told you guys this story before. The Sedins were absolutely rinsing us one night in Vancouver. I think their score was like 6-1 or something. And near the end of the season, it could have been the last game of the season or close to it, and AV kept putting the Sedins out on the power play, everything. And it didn't turn ugly. The guys had kind of just resigned. We were brutal that night. But AV sent over a message afterwards apologizing, saying, the reason why I kept them out there is Henrik was going for like the Art Ross or something. So he's like, I needed to afford that. Like, there was an excuse.
Right, and Steve Kerr did the same thing. He reached out to Jay Triano and explained it. And at least publicly, Triano said, I accept it, that's fine, whatever.
That's fine, then.
I don't think it's any coach's responsibility at the pro level to worry about the feelings of another team.
No,
I don't think that's not why you're paid.
No, I think I like the fact that Kerr reached out to the other coach. That's all he would do because it's a peer of his. And I think that's probably what he felt a responsibility to at least give him an explanation if he needed to. From a player standpoint, what the other guy's the other team's coach does shouldn't matter.
No kidding. But, he's not your coach.
But that's, you know, that night, I do remember saying to, like, Robin Regeer, like, why didn't you chop his arm and, you know, one of their arms to make sure that they know they shouldn't have been on the ice. And it was a respect factor. The Sedins are great players, and they were just rinsing us that night. It was one of those nights. But I could honestly, and I don't want to be on the fence, I can literally see both sides in that because, like I say, the older, former player,
you guys, again, are thinking about it from a loser's perspective. Wouldn't it be cool if you were on Golden State? How different race. That would be?
Yeah.
If you were the winners and you're like, okay, let's do something different here.
I kind of feel like
no one thinks about that angle. They're also pro athletes.
In basketball, I feel like top player. Like, I think LeBron coaches that team anyways.
In many ways.
So, I mean, I've seen an
quarterbacks coach their own team.
I was just going to say.
Middle linebackers.
You've probably seen in a dressing room where the top player stands up and says, hey, guys, this is what I need on the power play, or this is what we're trying to do. Yeah. Kind of an extension of what the coach is trying to do.
Well, I've also heard after a power play meeting, you get outside on the bench and it's like, whatever that guy said, don't think of one word because it's not happening.
Yeah.
Not happening.
That's true, because coaches draw it up so perfectly, and there's it never happens that way. There's just, you know, it's live action. But I can see where people will get their feathers ruffled because it's maybe a lack of respect. But Steve Kerr, all he cares about is his team.
That's
what
his only priority.
About, you know?
That's his only priority. It shouldn't be his priority to concern himself with the feelings of grown men that he doesn't work with.
So it got heated about
anyway,
that.
I don't even think it was that heated. It was a quality conversation, a bit of a debate.
There you go.
And I don't know. People are tweeting in. Some guy texting in here saying it was pathetic yesterday. That's a bit harsh.
That may be a bit harsh.
Pathetic? The show was pathetic. Like,
I got one tweet saying the guys said we were on fire, like we were awesome.
I got one of those too, saying the boys are on fire today. Like
someone else texting in saying it was absolutely the worst show of all time.
Really?
What's a worse breakdown? It's pathetic, or it's the worst show of all time?
Well, you have to describe, like, tell us why. Like, what?
Yeah, I guess if you want to follow up, explain to us why it was the worst show of all time. Like, technically, that should feel like a just a deeper dig.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the worst show of all time. There have been millions and millions of radio shows in the history of this medium. Yesterday's was the worst.
What's the guy on the on TV, Boom Goes the Dynamite? Like,
yeah.
This guy is
better than us.
Was better than you
than our show yesterday. But I feel like saying it was pathetic hurts a little bit more.
Like the definition of pathetic.
Yeah, like you're a pathetic loser. You guys were pathetic and it was awful and you sucked yesterday. That's a great way to start this afternoon show.
Digs deep. Now I got mixed reviews as far as tweets, but it sounded like it was good to me.
All right. Well, we got through it and it's good to have you back. Speaking of pathetic, it's Valentine's Day today. And did you see that Lindsey Vonn, who's over there in Pyeongchang?
Not Pyeongchang.
I've got word of a new pronunciation. Pyeongchang.
No, that's not what it is.
Well, it's not Pyeongchang. It's Pyeongchang.
No, Chang.
I know.
Right?
Trust me.
Wasn't there a TV station that called it P.F. Chang's?
I brought that up yesterday, and Jeff Kim over here took that personally. He's like, that's not funny, and that's really disrespectful to do that. I'm like, I didn't do
he
it.
Didn't
Some
do it.
Jackass behind the scenes did
I was reading that on Twitter yesterday.
Kim.
So Lindsey Vonn, I guess, is over there in South Korea, and she tweeted out, quote, so apparently it's Valentine's Day. I forgot all about it because I'm at the Olympics and I'm single. Anyone else out there single and want to be my Valentine?
Holy smokes.
The amount of pathetic losers tweeting her,
you know,
thinking
why?
That, yeah, she's going to like that. This
Jeannie
tweet.
Jeannie Bouchard started it because she put it out there, or actually that guy reached out and then she accepted.
Right.
So now there's the one in a million. There's a bunch of Mary Swansons out there.
Bunch of guys are writing her being like, I could be your Valentine. Yeah, okay, dude. She's going to fly to Saskatchewan right after the Winter Olympics to be
dude,
your
this,
Valentine.
This girl to be. Turfed Tiger Woods because apparently old El Tigre got up to his old tricks. And she did not like that.
So if that's the case, did she really gas him, or did he put him in a position where he had to be put on waivers?
Yeah, like she said, listen,
pardon me?
He kind of demanded a trade, didn't he, by his actions?
He can't.
He like basically he said, I'm not into this anymore.
Yeah. Danny Heatley'd the Ottawa Senators with Lindsey Vonn. Like, he played that role. Like, I'm not interested in being here anymore. Please move on, just based on my actions.
Speaking of the Sens, we have a trade to announce.
Boy, I had to do that last night during the game.
How are you reacting to that? Like, you were in the building calling the game, and Dion played the first, and then he played like
half the second,
and then he disappeared.
Period, he had played four shifts in the second period. It was actually really neat how it went down from a media standpoint.
I found it weird, though, Jamie. Like, I think it started with Camilleri in Boston a few years ago or the middle of a game.
Yeah.
It's like, just can you not do it in the morning or... I don't know.
My question is, are you negotiating that hard that it goes right into the game? And if you think that the deal is going to get done during the game, do you not probably scratch him before just in case?
Yeah.
Because... I'll tell you, in the first period, Dion got hit by a slap shot from Olli Maatta on a dump-in on his forearm. And he went right off the ice on the play. So in the second period, he played four shifts. There were three different things that I came up with because I wasn't sure that the trade was going down. The first period, he gets that slap shot off the arm. So I'm like, okay, that could have been, you know, after the first period, it's not feeling very well. Second of all, I didn't think he played very well. And the first two goals were kind of direct results of him making poor plays. So there's a second thing is that maybe the coach, Mark Crawford, who runs the D, said, you know what, take a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Send a message. And then the third was they've pulled him because there's a pending trade. So we track it. Halfway through the second, he's not playing. All right, well, not much we can do. You're not. And then after the second period, Bruce Garriott comes by to me and he says, hey, I think something's going down. I'm going to dig around. And Bruce sees a dog on a bone. Like, he's all over it. And so I go back and call down to the truck, and Sam Cicerello, who's producing the show, says, hey, we think something's up. So we've got to find out if Phaneuf's coming back. If he's not coming back, is it an injury or is there something else going on? So you have to have a dialogue with the PR. And so he doesn't come out for the third period. So he's either been shut down for an injury or he's been pulled for a trade.
And they announced he's not returning, but they didn't give a reason.
Exactly. So now you follow up with another note saying not returning for this game or ever, you know, something like
forever
that. Forever and ever. So there was like lots of things going on. But meanwhile, we're calling, it was somewhat of a dog's breakfast.
Oh, Pittsburgh just owned them last night.
Yeah, Phil was very funny, though. I'll get to that a little bit.
Well, that might have been tough for Phil. Like, that's his boy. He and Dion are really close.
They went gone for dinner the night before. So our storyline actually laid out perfectly because we focused on Kessel. We ran the video where Kessel got scared by Ryan Reeves in the hallway at Halloween. We ran the Instagram post of Phaneuf and Kessel out from the night before. Dion saying free dinner. Then Dion and Sid got into it at the end of the first period, and they have always had a long-standing battle. Phaneuf did a walk-off after the first period and was really candid and saying, you know, I have a battle with Sid. I respect him a lot. So there was a lot of great storylines for a game that wasn't...
That kind of surrounded Phaneuf, too.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden... really jumped the shark and took a different direction.
Bobby Mack said... When Bobby Mack sends out a tweet, like, that's, you know, the ripple effect right there. Him and Dregs were all over it.
Yeah.
So... The game's going on, and we got breaking news. So I'll never forget it because it was a one-timer play on the back door, and Sam's going, okay, break it. Like, all right, we've got a trade to break, and you don't worry about what's going on the ice. I read the tweet from Darren Dreger saying Dion Phaneuf has been traded to L.A.
And it was an interesting trade. Like, I didn't see a scenario where, just because of his contract, where Ottawa wasn't either going to have to eat the deal or they really weren't going to get anything in return.
This trade is about one thing. The Ottawa Senators save about $1 million a year.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
You're right.
This is a deal straight from the owner. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a Sens fan.
He's saving $1 million a year.
Yeah.
It's just about contract and move out to try to somehow save money, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
It's not about one team, one player in this deal putting another team over the edge, because at this particular point in both guys' career, they're not that guy anymore. It's just about saving money. That's the deal.
That's it.
End of story.
No kidding. But that is.
So for all you people horny for a trade, they're like, oh man, this. That's what the deal is. It's $1 million a year in savings.
Well, I honestly think they're praying Gabrick's either going to retire or gets, I'm not even joking, seriously injured, and he goes on long-term IR so that insurance
pays
the money.
You got that K coming in, you don't retire.
No, well, that's fine, but they're going to try to find a way to get out from that number. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Okay, call Lou and ask him.
Probably not the worst idea, because Melnyk... This is all about Eugene Melnyk. Like, that's it. If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, this is what, even if you didn't like Phaneuf, even if you were happy with him not being on the team anymore, you cannot walk away from this without thinking, here it goes again. My owner is just going to try to save every penny possible. Like, that's it. That's all he's trying to do. Now, if it's simply to pay Carlson, maybe there will be a payoff.
But
why
would Carlson want to stay if his owner is trying to penny pinch in every other area?
I don't know. Maybe he's all about the money. Maybe he likes Ottawa. I don't know what the reason is.
And by the way, in a salary cap era, you can't blow your brains out on money anymore. You can't be the Leafs of 15 years ago or the Rangers. You can't.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know. It all started with the asking for the trade list so early on, and then the owner comes out at that outdoor game and he's like, I'm not blowing my money on this hockey team where I've saved it for so long. It just all, it all went to hell right there. It's gone. Well, it's over.
And
you've seen those. You know what it's like. These guys are just like, get me the hell out of here.
Well, we were talking off air, like, Brian and I, like, owners, this is their right to do it. Like, it's a little different. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they're... There's not just one owner. There's not just one guy. It's not Bob Smith that Sandy has to call up and deal with. This is multiple layers. It's a giant corporation worth billions of dollars.
Multiple corporations worth billions of dollars.
Okay, so, yeah, you're right. So, in Edmonton, it's one guy. In Ottawa, it's one guy. Like, in Minnesota, it's one guy. Like, there's, you go down and you're dealing with one guy, obviously, in Montreal, Jeff Molson. Like, there. Go through the league, you have to take it up the chain, or the general manager has to take it up the chain to maybe one guy or a corporation. So you're right.
Eugene He's got to be the most disliked owner in the league. He's got to be. Like, I can't imagine there's another, like, a fan base that's this passionate, a Canadian fan base. And the way that some of the rhetoric, what he had to say around that outdoor game.
What would we be talking about on this show if the owner came out before that game where we were all jacked up and he's like, I'm not blowing my money in these hot... We would just be...
Oh, man, if it was in Toronto...
It would be a 48-hour show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a telethon.
Yeah, it would be a telethon.
But, I mean, his response is, and it is a reasonable one from a business standpoint, they don't sell out. Yeah. Right? And now it's going to be even worse.
Well,
the stretch, anyway.
They are heading in that direction to break down and try and retool. And that's up to the general manager to do that. And... You know, if you're the LA Kings, you're looking at what Gabbert brings to the table, and I think you bring in Phaneuf and you push him down in the lineup, less pressurous situation, and you're right, he's 32 years old. He's not Dion of 19, but he's also a guy who brings experience, and they want... I think the way that he plays now is more suited to the West than it is to the East as far as style of play, and if you play him in, for lack of better words, sheltered minutes and protected minutes... You can still get something out of that horse. So it's, to me, I think LA's paying, I don't even know what the real number financially is, but they're, you know, the cap hit's still there and they've made it work. So
I think it's something 5.2 or
5,
3.
With the 25, I'm not even going to try because Gabrick was 4.8 and all that. But the point being is they've gotten a guy that they feel can help shore up their core, like the defensive depth. So... And Gabrick wasn't doing that in L.A. He's had a decent season, but he's a guy who gets banged up.
Yeah, and he's 35.
36 today.
Exactly. So 36. He's committed for 3 more years.
Yeah.
They got Alex Burrows for another year. It's just a really bad scene in Ottawa.
Well, and they're going to have to move past.
They were in overtime of Game 7. Overtime of Game 7 in the conference final.
Yeah.
And now they are entire fire.
But here's the thing, too, though. Last year, they overachieved. They, like, let's be honest. Their goaltending was outstanding. Erik Karlsson was arguably the best player on the planet. The stars aligned. Bobby Ryan was just brilliant, and he had had a terrible regular season. They overachieved last year. This year, the guys who played so well last year, Craig Anderson, pulled on Saturday night. Wait, 3 goals on 9 shots? Didn't
but also not good. Young, not a 25-year-old who you're waiting Craig to turn Anderson. Around.
Eric Karlsson doesn't, even Eric Karlsson's got 36 points this year in 50 games, but like, it's he's not having his best season. Broussard, like you go right down, Bobby Ryan has broken his fingers more than you can count. 11 times, I think he's had finger issues.
It's turning into like a character, like it's, powder
you,
or something.
You know what they are?
Like,
they're the NHL version of the Blue Jays. They've got Karlsson is Donaldson, Bobby Ryan's Tulowitzki. They're coming off a brutal year. They are constantly obsessed with attendance. They're constantly thinking about how much buzz they're going to get in the marketplace.
You got it
marketplace.
Wrong in the attendance. Like they don't have that worry. They're not asking people to come.
The Blue Jays?
Okay.
They haven't been. The last two
because they don't have to because they've been so good. But my point is, Shapiro's basically said the reason that they're going to continue to put forward this front that they're actually a good team is because the fans keep showing up. All they talk about is how many people roll into the Rogers Center. They're obsessed with the gate.
Well, but that's the bottom line.
They're obsessed with ratings.
But that's the business. They make money.
Totally. But if you're a fan, you don't want to hear that about that obsession because that's not your problem.
Right.
You're paying. I'm not just a fan. I'm a paying customer.
Right.
I don't want to hear about your problems.
Right.
I make $35,000 a year and I just bought a season pack of 8 tickets.
Yeah.
You're worth billions and you're complaining about something. I don't want to hear that.
No, people don't want to hear
it. People don't want to hear it.
But
it doesn't mean it's not a reality.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that if you're Melnick or Rogers or Bell or whatever, you have to be concerned with that. That is your priority. But if you're a fan, it's not.
No, you're
if you're a fan, you're like, stop talking about how many people are showing up at the rink. I'm here.
Yeah. And you're expecting a good product and you're expecting
absolutely.
But that's the they're in limbo right now with a little bit of an older team of guys getting paid money, some serious cash. Ottawa has that, and that's what they're trying to rectify. They're moved out Phaneuf at 32. They've got multiple other guys. Nate Thompson is 33. Again, another piece at $1 million. But you know, you that's I guess where it starts. You made it to the conference final last year. That's it. You're gonna
have to retool
and move on.
Well, I tell you what. After listening to what the garbage is going on in Vancouver right now, it's like teams just have a hall pass. If they say sorry to their fans, they're rebuilding. Jim Benning got a 3-year extension today.
Well,
and the tweets coming out of Vancouver are like, this is one of them. Vanek's giving everyone some mojo to score goals. Are you high? Like this guy. He has not been wanted for 5 years, and all of a sudden he's giving all the Canucks mojo to score goals?
Well, Trevor Linden sent out his own letter. So that's Montreal, Ottawa's done it. Now Vancouver's doing it. Every horrible
Rangers.
Team in the league. Yeah,
Rangers.
Sorry, that's
Rangers,
who I meant,
yeah,
the Rangers.
Sorry.
Every brutal team in the league has to send out a letter
we
now.
We need to send out a letter for yesterday's show.
We should write up a letter. We should absolutely write up a letter.
I just got a direct message saying yesterday was excellent.
Who was that?
Charlie Patrick.
Thanks, Charlie.
Now, Chuck Beans is his Twitter handle. He said yesterday was out. But, I mean, it's like anything.
Yeah.
People cares? Either like it or they don't like it. There's no in-between with our group here.
Well, Steve tweeting and saying, I thought O-Dog was very good yesterday, but in all of my years of listening, I've never heard or seen Hayes perform so badly. His interview with Kevin Pelton was way too short. He read too many tweets. Lots of dead air. Sad.
Oh, did he hashtag? Like, he gave you a Trump.
He hooked me up with a Trump.
Sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting some bad
were
reviews.
You,
maybe it was
so
me.
So both of you guys were lower energy Jeb yesterday?
Yeah, basically. I
wow.
guess. So we got to bring our A game. I'm on fire today. I'm feeling good. We got a Leaf game tonight.
Yeah, against
Columbus in town. It's Valentine's Day. We got to get into that.
I know.
Is there a less loving individual in pro sports than John Tortorella, who happens to be in town tonight? I can't picture him celebrating Valentine's Day.
I think he's probably a really good like husband and father.
He seems like a good family
scenes.
Guy behind the scenes, but the vibe he puts forth doesn't scream
he's
warm and fuzzy.
He's not handing out hearts in the dressing room, I'll tell you that.
No. So Jerry's percentages in an hour. We'll tee up the Leaf game today. Jerry may be in the mood to sing. We don't know. We'll see.
Wow.
And Trevor Linden writing letters to Canucks fans about Jim Benning getting an extension and what's going on out there in Vancouver.
We may write our own letter, an apology for yesterday.
Yes.
You got an open letter to an Overdrive fans.
Some updates out of spring training. Pitchers and catchers have officially reported. Johnny Manziel update. There's a lot going on today.
Yeah.
Noodles is back. It's Valentine's Day. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Lindsey Vonn, who's over in South Korea, and she posted something on Instagram and on Twitter, just letting the world know she's single, and if there's anyone else single out there, hey, shout out. Say what's up. And I guess Jeannie Bouchard just did that on Instagram, too. She posted one of her SI pictures, and I gotta say, it's a great pic. But she just made the world know that she's single, and Valentine's Day isn't as much fun when you're single. So, in other words,
reach out.
Yeah, DM me, and if you're a plug, I'm not even going to respond. In fact, I'll report you to Instagram. But if you're not a plug, who knows?
Well, like that kid, the guy who reached out to
him. She's basically Kournikova right now. That's what she is.
As a player?
Yeah. She can't win crap. She's Kournikova.
Yeah, she doesn't really compete. Like,
no, she's
not
a model. She's not a tennis player. She doesn't win anything. She's horrible.
Kournikova.
She's Kournikova.
Very beautiful. I saw her in person.
So was Jeannie Bouchard, but they're like a non-factor. That's what she is. She's Kournikova.
But where is she ranked in the world? Would she be?
She's fallen, I believe, out of the top 100. Okay. I'd have to go back and look. Like, at one point, she was in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like, when she was going to Grand Slam finals.
And she's back in Montreal. Like,
but she's still young enough where you can't throw your career away and just.
Right.
Think that you're going to be able to live off limited success when you were 20 or 21. You got to keep pushing and keep playing and hope that you get better. But
prove me wrong then.
No, at this point, it's not looking as if the on-court success is going to be there. Off the court, she's very successful.
Right.
Got over 1 million Instagram followers. As crazy as that sounds, that means something in 2018.
Well, she's got to parlay that into financial success because I'm sure she's made good money in her career. But she needs to make more for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
So.
But she's been in the SI swimsuit for a couple of years now. I wonder what that would pay.
I don't know. SI swimsuit?
Mm-hmm. They got to be making 50
sure
grand, 100 grand,
yeah, probably,
more than that?
Yeah, I would think there's some.
Yeah, I guess so, because Kate Upton's been in that. She's not doing anything for under $1 million.
There's some pretty high fees involved.
How is that possible, though? Like, magazines do not sell the way they used to.
But
Sports Illustrated is not what it once was.
Yeah, like, what are you counting on? The buys on, like you know, the magazine subscriptions?
And everything's online anyway. Jeannie Bouchard's posting it for free on her Instagram account.
Nah, but I think there's images. You're right. But that magazine's not just grabbing it and putting it in. They've got to pay for that. Like, I think there's multiple layers for models and stuff. I'm sure we've all met a couple along the way where people do some modeling. Like, there's layers of money involved. You get involved for the shoot if it gets picked up, and, you know, like, there's.
Well, I understand that. What I'm saying is, from Sports Illustrated standpoint, how do they feel like they can make money? Like, if you're paying 15, 20
those
girls,
magazines aren't flying off the shelves anymore.
No.
Right. Especially when people can creep out the pics and find them.
You can get them for free. Like, if I want to see Jeannie Bouchard in SI, I follow her on Instagram. She's posted 3 or 4 pics already. Kate Upton, whenever she's in them, well, she posts them all on Instagram.
If you want to see pics, you can just Google and image them, and there it is.
Right, so
and
why am I paying?
Before the issue's out?
Basically, yeah. I don't believe it's out yet officially. It may have come out this week.
If I'm SI, then I'm thinking you guys are nuts.
Isn't the Sports Illustrated one, wasn't there a naked one where all of the athletes posed naked?
Because that's always the body issue.
Yeah, that's ESPN the magazine.
Or ESPN.
ESPN does that.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do the Overdrive body issue?
No. That would be horrifying. We would need so much touch-up.
Oh, dude, the amount of paint that would be needed. How much paint?
No, what they would just do is just superimpose our heads onto, like, nice-looking bodies.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. Like, if you pulled, like, a Kardashian and it was Photoshopped or...
Do the Kardashians Photoshop their body?
My understanding is they work the filters pretty well.
Okay.
Like, well, filtering is a big, big part of their program.
Well, I don't know. Anyway. I just, yeah, the overdrive calendar, I don't think would make any money.
Would whatsoever. People pay for that? Send us your tweets, texts, and emails. Would you pay for an overdrive The Body magazine?
I would be in it. I wouldn't pay for it.
Me neither.
What about, would you like to see it?
Yeah,
send
maybe not
out the
pay.
Poll.
Maybe not pay. Would
send
you
out the poll and I'll retweet it.
All right, get that poll up. Would you like to see basically ESPN the magazine, the
An
body
overdrive
issue?
The body issue.
Okay. Horrifying. Get that up. We'll track it. Pierre LeBrun in studio around 5. The Leafs are in action tonight. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. A shocking update on Troy Tulowitzki. Shocking down at spring training.
Don't even tell me he's hurt.
We'll tell you about it in 2 minutes. I am very ready for more John Gibbons audio. It's been a number of months without any John Gibbons audio, so shout out to Fergie, who just played some, and pitchers and catchers have reported, so John Gibbons is down there. You know he doesn't really want to be there yet. He'd rather wait a couple of weeks, but he's obligated to be there. And I don't even know what he says half the time, but I always enjoy it. And the past couple of days, the big story down there has been Aaron Sanchez, who obviously can't commit to being fully 100% past his blister issues. And let's be honest, that is what we will be tracking the closest over the next month, month and a half. Because if another blister pops up, people are going to go nuts.
Right.
Like, if he starts having blister problems again in spring training, people are going to go crazy.
Any medical, anybody, you're fired.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it is, though. It feels like it's a condition that he's just got that type of DNA or that kind of hand or skin. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But it just sounds crazy. There was all kinds of fake, like, second skin and different things. Like, I don't know. I guess I just don't have enough knowledge about it because it just seems crazy to me.
Well, let's hope it's not a problem. But, again, he didn't sound overly confident that it won't pop up. He said in 2016, where he had that great year, Cy Young caliber year, that was his breakout year, he had some blister issues, but they managed to deal with them. He could contain them, and he could get out there and continue to pitch.
You know, the first time that they say he's got a blister, it's over.
Yeah.
That's what happened last year. Oh, it's going to be good in a couple weeks, a month. And then the season was over.
Well, you know what's going to happen is people will immediately have the conversation as to whether or not he should just be resigned to being a bullpen arm. Like, that's what's going to happen. Your career as a starter may be in question, but you've got too good of an arm, and you want to continue to pitch. We can't expect you to throw 100, 110 pitches every fifth day, so we're going to bring you out of the pen. And if he does that, that's going to hurt his value long-term, value to the team. They need him pitching 180, 200 innings of, like, Cy Young-type stuff if they want any shot this upcoming year. But if he gets a blister, you know that's coming up. Do you move him to the bullpen?
It's crazy, and it's so sports specific, right? Like, he could be 100% healthy in the rest of his body. He gets a blister on his hand.
Yeah.
He's screwed.
Done. Unbelievable diet, unbelievable workout regime,
like
mental toughness, ready to pitch, and a blister ends his career.
And he's done. Like, I always, and I know hockey players don't get it, but in football, like turf toe. Remember Deion Sanders had turf toe.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, how bad is that? But apparently it's awful from a pain standpoint that a guy, I mean, and when you need to run, you can't do it.
You can't play.
It's crazy.
You can't play because of that.
Turf toe.
Turf toe. Like, puts you on the IR.
But it's a legit injury that you can't challenge somebody for being soft about it.
Well, and that leads us into the update on Tulowitzki, who has not even officially reported to camp yet.
Yes.
And Gibbons was asked about Tulo, and he said he's been dealing with a bone spur in his heel. Doesn't believe it'll be an issue this spring, but he might have to delay the start of camp.
Oh, so I don't get that one. I always was surprised when a guy showed up to training camp with some kind of nagging type thing. I'm like, isn't your goal as an athlete to make sure everything is fine-tuned for the start of camp?
The only problem is if it's something that, like, if you have to take the whole off season to just even get back to square one, now all of a sudden you've got to start working it out, and if it hasn't healed properly. That's the, like, Erik Karlsson's a prime example of that. This guy had massive surgery in the off season, couldn't do anything, started the season, and just kind of chased it the whole year. If Tulo is showing up now and he's not healthy, he's not going to get healthy as it progresses.
Well, and that's the concern, because last year his season was a complete write-off because of injuries. He got injured a couple of years ago when he first came here as well.
Right.
And his production has completely fallen off, yet he's getting paid $20 million for, I think, the next 3 years. He's 32. Right. He's not getting any younger. Like, we saw it last year. We saw it with Karlsson. We saw it last year with Donaldson. It took Donaldson a long time to get going.
Yeah,
because he didn't perform in the spring and didn't really play in
September.
And
the year before, it was Joey Batts. Wasn't his knee, like, banged up?
But yeah.
He struggled all season long to get healthy, and people knew he wasn't healthy. And it sucks for the Jays, because they're kind of in a, I think they're kind of in a real weird spot right now.
They need everything to break their way. They need Tulowitzki to be healthy. They need Sanchez to pitch like a Cy Young candidate. And this is not the type of start you want in spring.
Yeah.
Like, Sanchez has not suffered anything, but he's opening the door to potential blister problems. He can't guarantee anything.
Right.
And Tulowitzki, a write-off of a season from a year ago, now a year older, and he may not be ready for the beginning of spring. And like you just said, that rolls over into another week, then another week, and then you're never 100%.
If you're Sanchez, he's got to be like Costanza and walk around with oven mitts on.
I think so. But at some point he's got to take him off and pitch.
Like, it just, it's so delicate. Like, mm-hmm. I feel bad for the guy, because you're right. He could be in amazing shape, you know, do everything right, and you get a little blister, that's your moneymaker.
Throws off your whole career.
Wow.
Pierre LeBrun in studio at 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Dion Phaneuf for Marian Gaborik trade. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight with Columbus in town. The Leafs have a chance to go 5-0 at home here on this homestand and win 9 of 10 for the first time in 14 years.
Is that right?
That's how hot the Leafs are. That's how hot the Leafs are. And Jerry's percentages in 45 minutes. Actually getting a lot of love for the Overdrive Body Issue magazine.
I don't know if love is the right word, is it?
I'm telling you. Lori emailing in saying, yes, I would love to see the Overdrive hosts on a calendar, and I would also pay for it. Love it. Thanks.
Wow.
We love you, Lori. Thank you.
She's catfishing.
Might be. Someone texting in saying, I'm only buying the Overdrive Body Mag to see Jerry in a toe touch.
Wow.
It's a bit aggressive and uncalled for.
That is. That is pretty aggressive. You all right there?
Jerry in a toe touch?
Mm-hmm.
That would be
That would sell.
Much.
I'll say that.
I don't think the actual commissioner would enjoy that, though.
Well, it's not actually the commissioner. It's our own creation. Some guy named Jerry.
Jerry could be in a toe-touching mood at 5:30 because it's the Valentine's Day.
He's really looking forward to serenading the ladies out
there. He promised a love song, and he will deliver a love song.
Well, he's happy because it sure feels like the Seattle movement's happening, right? Like, they ponied up the $10 million, and they've applied, and they're not doing that unless they know it's a lock. We all know it's a lock. It's happening. Seattle's
for
getting
sure.
a team. So Vegas has been a big hit. Seattle's coming soon.
I think Seattle's going to be good. That market could use hockey down there because that's close in Vancouver, another West Coast team. I think they'll be fine there. They always had great support. Like, we're talking 10,000 fans for a junior team.
Hey, you just got to go to George McPhee and say, what were the keys in the selection process?
Well, there's two guys I would target, and unfortunately I think the Leafs will hide one of them, is Mark Hunter or Kelly McCrimmon. Mm-hmm. Either one of those two would be my GM, an expansion team, because both of those guys are great hockey guys who know up-and-coming prospects. They're behind-the-scenes guys. They may not want to be front and center, but they're really smart hockey minds.
And they'll pound the pavement and go out there and watch every single player.
And Kelly McCrimmon has been a big part of what's going on in Vegas.
Pierre LeBrun will join us. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. We'll get back into the Dion Phaneuf trade and other things going on throughout the league leading up to the trade deadline. And Jerry's percentages at 5:30.